Everyone, and welcome to minute 153 of season 8 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we foobar our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg award-winning film Saving Private Ryan, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Richard Kirkham of Kirkham Movie A Day.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for having me back, Rob.
Always a pleasure. Always fun having you on. We always get to talk about nostalgic movies also, so that's always fun, you know it's nice having movie fans on.
It's always good to talk about it with a fellow movie fan.
Yeah, of course. So minute 153 begins with Miller starting to crawl towards the detonator, and ends with Miller finally figuring out that he needs to try and stop the tank itself.
Miller is doing the right thing at first, crawling, and then he does the stupidest thing I've seen him do in the whole movie. He stands up. He stands up to go over to the trigger for the detonator instead of continuing to crawl, which means that he's a bigger target and easier for the enemy to see, which immediately turns out to be true.
Yes, but it happens to be because he's completely disoriented, you know, or maybe because there's too much debris on the ground.
Well, there's not any more debris on the ground walking than there is crawling.
No, but I don't know. Maybe it's a little easier to get around debris by walking than crawling. I don't know. I can't remember the last time I had to deal with walking around debris like that. So, you know, I not really sure. But he does stand up and starts walking, and then we get a nice shot of Steamboat Willie, you know, recocking his gun and you know, starting to aim, getting someone in his sights, and I like the little bit of a fake out here, making us believe that he's about to shoot Miller, and then we see that he's shooting at another random soldier who is running across the bridge of the Alamo.
Another one to add to your tally of soldiers who died.
That's right. So, this guy makes it across the bridge, gets shot as he's at the edge of the bridge, which works out really well for the stuntman because then he can, you know, easily do the, do a roll off the bridge and fall into the, you know, into the river below.
That's a gag that'll get him paid extra.
That's right. Very, very true. So we add that to the tally. So now we're up to 18. There are 18 Allied troops that have sadly lost their lives during the Battle of Ramel so far. We know of at least one more, but we'll get there. It won't be this week. You have to wait until, well, actually it might, no, it won't be, because, you know, there will be an episode, there will be episodes this coming weekend also, but maybe it's on during the weekend, I don't know, but it's not during this, it's not a weekday this week that'll happen. Again, I like the way that they frame that, making us believe that Steamboat Willie's about to shoot Miller. And he shoots someone else, and then after the guy falls into the river, so then we see that Steamboat Willie now looks up and sees Miller.
Who's perfectly framed between the half track and the wall.
That's right.
And the area that miss? All you have to do is point in that general direction.
That's right. And that's what he does. He shoots and hits Miller squarely in the chest. And Miller is able to just, like, he just falls down completely. You know, I wonder if Tom Hanks did the stunt for that or not. Because it's an interesting way to have a character fall.
You know, like face forward.
He falls forward and his, like, arms and legs go up at the same time.
I'm sure that Hanks did that. They're not going to.
Well, he's not Tom Cruise, you know, so.
It's not that complicated a stunt.
I don't know. I've never done stunts, so I couldn't tell you. I just know that there are movies where, they have a list of like 20 stuntmen, and it's like a rom-com, and you're like saying, "Where the hell do they need 20 stuntmen for?"
Well, sometimes kissing Meg Ryan is a little dangerous.
Sometimes, but only for Billy Crystal. Or Tom Hanks, now that I think about it. It's funny, when you mentioned that, my first thought went to When Harry Met Sally, as opposed to rom-com with Meg Ryan, that it could have been.
Which would be three with Tom Hanks.
Correct, correct. Which one were you thinking of when you said that phrase?
She's pretty dangerous in You've Got Mail. I don't think she slaps him, but she wants to at one point.
Right, okay. That's fair. I actually think that she looks the best in You've Got Mail, because Meg Ryan is an actress that just about in every movie she looks different. So at this point, Miller falls down, and then we get a shot of Steamboat Willie, who looks very pleased with himself. It makes you wonder, do you think he knows that he just shot Miller, or he's just shooting some random guy?
I didn't get the impression that he knew. I think he's just satisfied that he made the shot that he needed to make and is, locked and loaded for the next shot and the next shot after that.
I think that's true. And
It
so,
might have registered later.
okay, maybe we'll have to keep an eye out for that. Maybe we'll figure that out. And then he takes another shot, and then we see Upham still staring at him, figuring out what just happened. And then we hear the tank rolling forward, and moving past everyone, and Miller somehow is able to straighten himself up. We see a lot more blood than there was before, but he's still trying to straighten himself up, and he's leaning on the rabbit, trying to steady himself, even though, again, this is probably the worst place that someone could be doing this type of thing.
He's just been shot, so it's not like he's got a lot of ability to duck and cover someplace.
Correct. But again, he could go back to crawling.
He was barely able to sit up. I don't think he could crawl very far.
Well, Steamboat Willie is a good shot. And then, he just leans down. He's leans against the rabbit, pulls out his sidearm, and basically points it in the direction of the tank. And we see a lot of people are apparently shooting at the tank, because there's a lot of gunfire at the tank itself, but there's no one around Miller specifically that would that we know is shooting at the tank. Maybe it's Ryben. Maybe Ryan has decided to continue shooting. I don't know. And then he points the gun at the tank and one-handedly takes two pot shots at the tank. And as his second shot goes off, that's where the minute ends. It's pretty interesting that he's even trying, to shoot at a tank with the pistol.
Well, you know that poster, The Last Act of Defiance, with the I think it's a mouse or a rat who is giving the finger to the eagle that's about to swoop down on it. I think that's kind of what this is. It's, I'm gonna go in an act of defiance. What else can I do? I could sit here and just give up, but I'm gonna keep fighting.
Okay. Maybe he's hoping that he's going to be able to find that little weak spot,
I
in
think it's a
the
little bit like
receiving
George C.
armor.
Scott in Patton, jumping out and starting to shoot at the plane with his sidearm. You don't know that you're going to do any good, but you want to make the effort and feel like you're trying at least.
Right. Okay. I guess that that makes sense. Something that I missed when I did at the beginning of this minute, when Miller gets up and starts walking towards, or crawling, walking, so Ryben screams at him and goes, "Captain, where the hell are you going? Captain, get back here!" You know, so he's still taking his job very well, trying to make sure that he's keeping Miller as safe as possible also. And that I guess you could say that's Ryben's unofficial job here, of him having to do what he can to keep Miller safe. You know, which again, it's somewhat ironic. You know, here they are, their job is to keep Ryan safe, and Ryben, who has had issues with Miller over the course of this entire journey, has finally, I guess, embraced him as a father figure type of thing.
Well, I think that he knows he's been given chances to kind of redeem himself in the film and in the story, in Miller's eyes, and he does that by you know being the bait with the rabbit earlier in this battle sequence, right at the beginning of it, and then right now, obviously, he's doing the best he can to keep Miller alive.
Right, but I mean, we've seen it over the last few days, and we saw it last week also, that he's somewhat taking control of things, and doing what he can to try to keep everyone safe. You know, with the he's showing promise to be a to maybe be an officer at some point later.
He's resigned to live up to his responsibilities.
Yes, that's true. Makes a lot of sense to do it that way. And I think he also breaks the mold, because most of the characters in this movie, or in many World War II movies, the characters are stereotypical. You have the Italian guy, you get the Jew, and you get the Brooklyn guy, and you get the guy,
the
like
Southerner.
The Southerner, exactly. You got all these different types of things, and Ryben mostly is he's the New York guy, but in the original script, and also in the novelization, he spends way too much time in the script talking about his family's lingerie business. And that he keeps wanting to go to some small little town in France to pick up some lingerie to be able to take back, maybe it's like nylons or something like that, take back to be able to sell in their store. something like that. I've mentioned this in the past, but I'm glad they cut that, because I don't think it really fits in well enough with the with everything that's been going on here.
Well, then he'd have been able to write off his whole time in Europe in the expeditionary force as a business trip.
Yeah, I don't know if that really would work, but okay. Actually, even I don't know if back in 1944 people were doing that type of stuff. that I don't know. Nowadays, that's definitely what people would be doing. I don't think there's even any question about that.
If you've got an aggressive accountant, it'd happen.
That's true. That's very true. And at this point, so he's showing his true colors, I guess you could say, from that perspective. And so I like it. And it's also funny that Upham, when they show him, we see that he still has the bandoliers over his shoulders. And there's a reason I'm pointing that out, because it's something that you'd think that he would have gotten rid of a long time ago, when he wasn't using it, because he himself has very little, if no, use of it. But we'll keep an eye on that, because, like I said, it is something that will come up a little bit later. And the whole thing. So, Richard, did you have anything else you want to say about this particular minute?
I think we are in pretty good shape on this minute. When we transition to the next one, I've got a couple things to say about Captain Miller and his 45, but we'll wait until we get there.
Okay, sure, no problem. All right, so every Wednesday we have a segment called World War II Wednesday, where my guests will give their top five World War II movies. So, Richard, why don't you once again start with your number five and work your way up?
All right, well, before I get to my top five, let me just mention that I had some other categories that I used in making decisions. There are, you know, movies that are traditional war films that are very straightforward, telling a story in the context of real warfare. Then there are man on a mission movies that are, you know, like The Dirty Dozen, where you've got the story is an invented kind of experience. It's an adventure story more than it is a war story. And you got films like Where Eagles Dare and The Dirty Dozen and films like that fitting that particular category. And I always tend to think those are great entertainment films, but not necessarily the best movies. And then you've got POW stories, which I have always been drawn to. One of my favorite POW stories is not The Great Escape. I have that. We'll get to that in a second because it is on my list. I'll you know, spoil that for you at the moment here. But I really like King Rat with George Segal. And
you know, I never liked that one. I don't know why. I've seen it a few times. I just never enjoyed it.
Well, it's a completely different perspective that you're talking about. It doesn't have any of the adventure elements that other films have. You know, escape is not really what's going on here. It's all about survival, and it's about the social systems that existed at the time being imposed, you know, trying to reimpose them in this hellhole that all of those people are in. And of course, you know, you get characters that violate those sorts of traditions and take advantage of, I don't want to say take advantage of the situation that they're in, but certainly they play it better. They play it survival differently than other people do. And it's not necessarily graceful. But like I said, I have a top five list that I don't really have any man on a mission movies in here, but I do have at least two POW films. But we're going to start with the film that I saw most recently, and it's the oldest film on my list, and it's Attack, starring Jack Palance and Eddie Albert.
Yes, I that is a great movie.
It is a great movie, and it's a Strother Martin movie.
Oh, wow, and really?
In case you don't know, folks, I'm also I don't know if you'd call it the publisher, the host, the chief writer. It's my website, the Strother Martin Film Project. And if you're not familiar with the character actor Strother Martin, please come by and visit us. But he's in this movie. He has the first lines. He has the first shot in the movie. And he's gone before the credits roll. But I thought the story was quite good. And I thought that it had a very honest presentation of the situations that are going on here. We had somebody who is in fact cowardly and creates a problem for everybody else. And it gets resolved in a way that you might have seen in a Vietnam film, but not necessarily in a World War II film. I was a little surprised at that.
And also considering when it came out.
Yeah. So, and Jack Palance is great in this movie. You know, I know he sometimes is, people think of him as just being that stoic, grim-faced guy, and I thought he was quite good in this movie.
Yeah, I like the
movie. My number four film is a POW film. It's Bridge on the River Kwai from 1957. You know, let's just face it, David Lean made great movies, and this is one of the great ones. It's got a fantastic cast. I think it came up in a very brief comment a day or two ago when we were talking about the detonator Captain Miller was trying to get to, certainly a different kind of detonator than the one that Alec Guinness ultimately collapses on in the Bridge on the River Kwai. Number three is The Great Escape, which we don't have to say much about since we've already spent a whole season talking about The Great Escape, right?
Yeah, but it was seven seasons ago, so, you know.
My number two film is Patton with George C. Scott. One of the great performances in film history. I think Scott is terrific in this movie, and it has a fantastic Jerry Goldsmith score. And it presents a very complex figure in both flattering and unflattering ways. Ultimately, I think we see him heroically, and we sympathize with Patton and his perspective on things. He was just not a politician, and he was impulsive in the things that he did, but he was also one of the most interesting characters you're going to see on screen. And, you know, 90% of it is historically accurate, which I like.
Yeah.
And then my favorite World War II film is the most recent one on my list, Dunkirk from 2017, from Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
Which I think is a terrific film, and I can't believe didn't win the award for Best Picture that year.
Yeah, that was a crazy year. I definitely think it should have done a lot better than it did.
Yes.
Okay, that is a great list. So thank you very much for that list, Richard. Would you like to once again tell people where they can find you?
You can find me at Kirkham A Movie A Day, which is my blog site. There's a Blogspot site, which is kirkhamclass.blogspot.com. And there's also a WordPress site, which is simply kirkhamamovieaday.com. The Blogspot site has a more complete inventory of the things that I do. It'll give you links to some of the other projects that I've done. But all my new content is on both sites. It's the same content there. You can also find me every week on the Lamcast, which is the official podcast of the Large Association of Movie Blogs. The Large Association of Movie Blogs has over 2,000 members. And we have 3 to 5 guests every week talking about new films, special projects, lookbacks, franchises, directors, whatever it happens to be interesting that week.
Perfect. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, moviearoundminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to moviearoundminute@movierob.net. So, until tomorrow, earn this.
Earn it, folks. Earn it.
My solitude.